Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
47, inside throw off the hands of Calvin Austin and into the hands of the Chargers. Dante Jackson out of bounds, inside the 40. The Chargers have intercepted Rodgers twice tonight.
A lot of stuff wasn't working. You know, we were bad on third down. I was just a little bit off. You know, I missed DK early. Could have been a big play. A little high to Jonnu. You know, didn't run the ball super effectively in the first half. I missed, obviously, some throws for sure. Yeah, we weren't getting guys open and just put it all together. Times that guys were open, I missed some throws I usually make.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan weather in Pittsburgh. There were some snow flurries today. Yippee. Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions, Myers Law Group, bringing you Fan weather. Aaron Rodgers, his interception, that wasn't his fault. Second time this year, ball has gone off Calvin Austin's hands into a DB's hands for a pick. In this case, it was former Steeler Dante Jackson. And then Aaron Rodgers saying after the game, we have to get guys open. Guys aren't open. We have to find ways to get them open. The Steelers decided that the price was too high to go out and get a wide receiver or two at the trade deadline. And the amount of tea that has spilled out about this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, in my opinion, self-serving. And I generally speaking, like Omar Khan, if I had to grade his performance as GM right now, I'd probably give him a B, maybe a B minus on the harsh end of things, but I don't think he's like failed the Steelers with the job he's done. This is the one area where he has fallen the most short, and he's very sensitive about it. How do I know that? Because he did something last week that I can't remember happening very often in the history of us being around the Steelers. They struck out at the deadline for a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He then sat Steelers media members down and explained to them what happened. How often do you get that? Where it's like, hey.
On the record?
It ended up, I think that there was some confusion about that, and that's probably, I haven't talked to him.
The nature of the recordness of the conversation.
Don't you think that's why Kabali probably sounded so weird on Friday?
We asked him very direct questions, he smirked and kept like grimacing. Yes, I do think that explains
it. And he had all this intel on Jalen Waddle and all this intel on Jacoby Myers and DK sports guy comes out and said, like, maybe he didn't hear the story quite right, but he comes out and says that it was actually Shahid. And then BMAC tells us that BMAC must have read that report.
Mm-hmm.
About how. So they went into damage control,
which they never do.
They never do. But the GM here, I think, and like Mark went out of his way to try to paint this picture too. Hey, don't make it sound like it was out of a lack of trying. I think the insinuation, and I don't even think media was really doing this, but the fan narrative that Omar Khan basically slept through the trade deadline, I think irritated him and ticked him off.
enough that he felt the need to try to set the record straight.
Well, their record straight.
Set their side of the story out there and make sure people know, no, we were trying. I was burning up the phones.
And it's twofold. It's, hey, like, we thought we had a deal done, and then we had the carpet rug pulled out from underneath us. And the other reason why nothing got done is that prices were too high. And I found out about this, and I said to somebody, I'm like, this is very Pirates-esque.
They were in on David Price in 2013. They were so close.
This is a classic Neil Huntington. Let me grab Rob Beertemple, or haven't said that name in a while, or maybe not Parado, because, you know, I don't know. John. You know, let me grab
a couple media people who've been on the beat for a while and let them know what happened.
That it was...
We were so close.
But we were off by a hair or a whisker.
Couldn't quite get there, but we were so close. We talked. We were trying. We give us an E for effort.
But you know what's happened, I think, in the aftermath now of this game? I'm just the way that I'm ingesting Steelers fans' takes. A lot of people are happy no deal got done.
Because they think the team is so far away from actually being a contender.
Yes. This is actually a blessing in disguise. Good thing they didn't trade.
Add one deck chair to the Titanic. Why bother?
But people were not saying that after they beat the Colts on Sunday. When the time was actually there to make a deal, Omar Khan didn't have in his head, like, hey, I'm not giving up a day two or day three pick because we're going to lose to the Chargers and the bottom's going to fall out. He was reacting to one of the best wins of the season by them. Still a lead in the division in first place with a 41-year-old quarterback. In the first game they play after they struck out at the deadline, DK Metcalf is held to 3 catches. Calvin Austin drops a ball that turns into an interception. You don't activate MVS off of the practice squad, so a receiver who primarily returns punts can do it. Instead, so he can keep his spot. And what does he do? He boffs a play and fumbles it on a return and
makes a bad situation even worse.
Yeah. Your tight ends do practically nothing.
Hey, Roman Wilson did have a touchdown. Mulsey's over 1.5 Roman Wilson receptions. What a bet. What a
Oh, man, I forgot about
what
that.
What a Mulsey stone cold.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to count that.
It counts. But, it looks like they were doing very self-serving business.
We had a Waddle. We were ready to steal Waddle, and then this green intern GM backed out of a deal.
Yep.
Which, here's why that's such to me. I don't think what Mark heard is a lie. Like, I don't think Mark told a fib. I think Mark was misled. All the big reporters said yesterday that the Bills
were the closest,
and the Dolphins wanted a first and third.
Not a third and a fifth. Like,
if they brought up, the second the conversation with the Steelers turned to first-round picks, Omar would have hung up the phone so fast, your head would have been spinning around like the girl in the Exorcist movie.
If Art II could get on a landline like your parents could when they thought you were having a phone conversation, he could have just hung up the receiver right then
right.
and there.
So they had Brian Thomas? I don't know. It doesn't sound like they did.
You mean Jalen Waddle?
Or, yeah, my bad. I guess Brian Thomas you could throw in there, too. But the Jaguars weren't selling at the deadline. They were adding. Why would they add Myers and subtract Thomas?
That would be a little bit of the Metcalf Pickens
situation. That would be cutting off your nose to spite your face there a little bit.
Is that
or
actually...
robbing Peter to pay Paul is more like it, probably.
I still don't know how to use cutting off your nose to spite your face. Not here, nor there. Yeah, I think you defined it well in the start. There's a lot of Pirates in this explanation, in this side of the story from the Steelers' perspective. And honestly, man,
are you pissed they didn't get a guy now? Or the fact that they lost, does it actually make you feel better about the fact that they didn't do it?
So I'm going to say that the loss probably makes me feel better. And here's the thing. They could have won that game without a second wide receiver being added into the mix. I think I heard Joe say, who knows, maybe Metcalf is more open more often.
I think he is.
Here's the problem. I watched him be wide open on the first or second possession of the game and watched his quarterback miss him.
But they were showing highlights during the game of the way that Metcalf is defended.
I know.
And the problem is that, okay, you single them up on one side of the field, you load up everybody on the other side, and these dudes can't consistently beat one-on-one
coverage. I understand that. I mean, that's a bad sign for them, but I'm not – I still think with what they had, like how the game actually transpired yesterday, and I understand here I'm not allowing for, with, again, a guy like Myers in the fold, the game might just unfold differently, but how it actually unfolded, if Rodgers is better, they win. Smith was wide open. Metcalf was wide open. Metcalf's is a definite touchdown. Smith was so wide open, I'm not so sure he wouldn't have found a way in.
I agree with that, but like, is the barometer on whether or not a trade was a good idea or a bad idea how you perform against the Chargers? I don't think it should be.
Well, to me, like, the barometer on whether a trade is a good idea or is a bad idea is, does adding player X fundamentally change what you are and what your fortunes are as a team? And honestly, having watched this up and down, very inconsistent, very turnover-dependent team for the entirety of the season,
yeah,
I don't think a wide receiver two fundamentally alters them. Let me ask you this. If they get Jacoby Myers, let's say,
yeah,
and the outcome is they hold on to the division by some hook or crook,
right,
and they win one playoff game and then get bounced, was
yes.
it worth it?
Yes. If all they gave up were day three picks, yeah, 100%.
But like, to what end? Like, what does that really change? I know this is going down the path that I don't want it to go, where, oh, if you didn't win the Super Bowl, nothing matters. But like, if you give up two day three picks and it gets you a wild card playoff win, I guess me, the way I look at stuff as a fan is, that doesn't do a whole lot for me.
But it turns a string of disappointing, failing seasons into a successful season.
But for somebody
season.
That maybe is sick of watching Mike Tomlin preside over this thing, it probably gives him a lot more breathing room.
Oh my, Chris, do you really think that matters with him?
I do think if they go through a losing season this year,
uh-huh,
and they go through a rebuild year next year, or they're losing again, I do think there's a chance it's over after this current contract is up. If he were to win a wild card game and be one of the final eight teams in the NFL,
uh-huh,
that's just a, hey, look, you gave me an extension, I'm doing a great job, we're all good here.
Yep.
So I do think that, and I think it could end on his terms if they don't make the playoffs and they finally have a losing season. I think
this year?
No, not like after this season, but I think like he might just say, all right, the one thing that like Tirico even brought, this incredible streak of non-losing seasons, if that were to be gone, but I do wonder.
But devil's advocate is, after the Colts game, most Steelers fans felt like, hey, we might not be that good, but there aren't any good teams. So let's see what happens. And they punted on that. The prices got too high, or Omar got hoodwinked or bamboozled by other GMs, where he thought he had something done and he didn't.
Well, I think that's the upshot to me here, is the guy who I think has been good at working the phones in his career and good at understanding the lay of the land did not seem to be very good at either one of those things in this deadline. Clear, like, kind of what I think about, like, whether I was happy they got it done or not is sort of irrelevant in this sense. They clearly wanted to find somebody else to add to their roster, and they failed.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I know we went down that little...
So what's the bigger story there? That they wanted one so bad that that tells you their true intentions, or the fact that they actually couldn't execute it? What's worse?
I actually think it's the second part. They couldn't execute it.
Yeah.
Like, man, if you've set yourselves out that this is what you're going to do, it's kind of like having a game plan. This is how we want to play offense in this game, and you don't execute it. It's pretty bad. I can talk till I'm blue in the face about them having a mismatched expectation with what I think their reality is.
Yep.
But once your GM sets his mind to, I am adding a second wide receiver target, and then either gets cold feet or just does not navigate that situation, that doesn't reflect well on him, regardless of whether I think you should have been looking in the first place.
Here is C-Cat in Forest Hills. Hello, C-Cat.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, man.
Stan, guy. Long time listener.
Great.
Hey, you know, a couple things that have been said today, and throw the quarterback, you know, bad game. Yeah, he is terrible. He looked 41. He had slots that he could have slid through and threw on the run. He didn't make it through. You just spoke about the trade deadline. You have a 41-year-old quarterback. Did Khan look at, can I get a number one lineman to protect my 41-year-old quarterback?
No, it doesn't sound like he did. Not at all. They wanted a depth defensive lineman, and they wanted wide receivers.
I would just say for the record, we still have gotten a lot of people today who want to really get after Broderick Jones and everything else. They clearly, I think, have a different internal opinion about the overall trajectory of their offensive line from the outside world.
You sure about that?
I think they do.
So let me ask you a question about that then. Right now, if you had to make a guess, his 50-year option for...
No, I mean the line as a whole.
No, but I'm just curious about Broderick Jones.
He's got to play better or it's not going to get picked
up. It's $19
million. He's not going to get picked
up. Me neither.
He would have to, have a back half of the season that looks like he's a stud for that to get picked up.
Here is our number one stoner listener, Johnny and Farrell. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, Malzy, I know you like numbers, and I've been beating the drum all season about this no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
So I dug. Here's what I found. In 2016 and 17, the Steelers ramped it up to 20% of the plays were no huddle. And in 16 and 17, our offense was top 10, top 5, respectively. Now, my eyeballs from 2005 was every time we had a deficiency, either with the line or a lack of all-around, players, wide receivers and whatnot, we went to the no huddle. And then in 16 to 21, we actually did it as mostly our offense.
Johnny, I might stun you here. It is often mentioned that they should go more no huddle, especially when they have a veteran quarterback in particular, as a way to kind of spice up the offense and give themselves another option. And while I could say that that has become almost cliche for how often people suggest it, you've got a guy like Rodgers who's probably better when he's dictating terms. I would be happy to watch them go tempo more often if they could.
Johnny, you're a conspiracy theorist. Do you think this report that Aaron Rodgers' wife might be made up and a phantom wife, do you think that when that came out yesterday, Rodgers might have found out about it and it might have affected his zen and happy place for last night's game?
Well, one thing about Rodgers is he values privacy, number one.
Yes.
So if his privacy is being messed with by outside forces and demons, then he probably would have.
You think these may be demons at work?
Anyone on the outside that does
metaphorical these demons. Johnny, one more question.
So not real demons?
No, he means just
do you believe in actual demons?
No.
Well, they walk amongst us, but they're in human form, that's all.
Gotcha. Thank you. He's gone. What did you
want to ask him? I was going to say, Johnny, Mike Tomlin cited his team's inability to stop Kamani Vidal as being a byproduct of spending too much time on grass.
Is there
a time when Johnny and Farrell ever felt like he spent too much time on the grass?
People coming out of the woodwork to tell me that what I did last night when I drove my wife's SUV through our garage door is not really that unusual.
Yeah.
Crowley, my wife did this the night of a West Virginia-Kansas basketball game, and I had to miss the game
because
to go to the dealership. Back windshield cracked, garage door broken. I said, what did you say to her? I was respectfully displeased.
To Crowley?
That's what he said to his wife. She did it.
Here's one. In high school, we took my friend's extremely loaded luxury sedan for a joyride. It all went fine and dandy. Then we didn't pull it back in far enough and closed the garage door on the back windshield and shattered it. Another one from Sarah, who used to live in, when I lived in Carnegie, she lived in the next neighborhood up.
Yeah.
I also have backed into my garage door. Do not be too harsh on Pony. I was stressed out and I wasn't thinking, and I still have the dents to prove
it. Donnie, have you ever been in any fender benders? You got a clean driving record?
No, I've been in a fender bender.
Anything where you backed into a telephone pole or any one car accidents where it was just you being a dummy?
No, I mean, I had some close calls back in the old Amazon van, but surprisingly, no.
I had, when I drove for a summer job in between years of college, I drove for a construction supply company. This was the company owned by the man named Harry Dick. That was that guy. He went by his initials for the company's name.
Did you guys just hear that?
That was the guy's name. What do you want me to say?
Did you dump that?
That was his name. Why are you dumping the man's name?
What if he had so if someone has an explicit name, we can say it on the air?
That's his name. What do you want me to say? Mr. D? Fine. Anyway, I was working for this guy's company.
And Harry Dick's company.
Well, now you said it again. You wanted them to
double. You're allowed to say that. It's his name.
Yes, thank you. For the love of
Dick
God.
Dick Nixon.
Yeah, Tricky Dick.
But Harry?
His name is Harry.
Okay,
what do you want
Chris,
me to say?
I get it. You didn't. It really wasn't relevant to the story. You just wanted to say Harry Dick on the radio.
Well, it's his name, and I wanted to properly respect. So, but I would have to drive a big F-550 truck, with, like one of those beer trucks, Donnie, with the gates on it. Then the other truck was like a smaller one, and I didn't know how to tie stuff down or anything. And it was all construction materials. Driving up a hill, tailgate down, stuff allegedly tied in correctly with the ratchets and all that stuff, right out the back. Let me tell you right now, it was on like a side residential street. It was not on a highway.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a pit of your stomach sinking feeling? Your job is to transport these materials safely. You're in your first week on the job. I believe it was the first time they sent me out on my own on a delivery. Right out the back.
Well, no harm, no foul. I think you're good. It went fine.
It went well enough after that, but like, man, did I just feel like absolute garbage for the rest of that day.
Here is Dana on the fan. Hello, Dana.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, I just want to give a quick assessment. You know what I mean? The defense played real good last night. I just think that they got wore out. And, Harbaugh, he's a violent man. You know, all his teams play violently. And we tried to match it. But things that stood out to me are the quarterbacks of the team, which would be Patrick Queen and Aaron Rodgers. They stunk it up. And Patrick Queen is always stinking it up. I just think that Tomlin doesn't have a firm control on an identity on how we should be here in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? What you think?
I think he has an identity, Dana, that he wants his defense to have, and I think it's a very risky identity. I think he wants them to make big splashy plays and turn the ball over and force a lot of them, I should say. And I think that's a very hard thing to do week to week in the NFL. That's what I think.
Another guy that's not worried about Aaron Rodgers, though.
He said that both of the quarterbacks.
He stunk it up, but he didn't say, hey, we're in trouble here with a 41-year-old quarterback who's going the wrong way and is coming off one of the worst games of his entire life last night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds like a six-round pick. Was the difference between a deal getting made and a knock?
No, it was a third-round pick and a fourth-round
fourth.
According
yes.
to who? According to Omar Khan.
Okay.
If
he's
that's
on
okay.
record? He's on record now?
He is now. Sorry, Omar.
Okay, that's all right. Wait, that's what he told you?
That's what I heard. We'll just say it like that. We'll just say
wow,
that's
okay.
what I heard.
That's interesting.
Well, it was.
I didn't think the GM talked in season, so now
but,
I'm getting
But
new
Jackson.
That was last night on the showdown. Will Graves.
Oh, man.
And me.
Oh, boy.
I actually had someone point, someone inside the Steelers reporter universe that brought something up during our conversation. I didn't check my phone until the segment was over. This is actually the second time, apparently, Omar Khan has had this powwow with reporters where he's wanted to set the record straight on things.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what the first one was? After they traded Pickens.
Interesting.
So it's apparently, according to this person who will remain unnamed, the whole point of that meeting was to say, hey, everything we've said on the record about George Pickens is BS. He's actually like the worst human being that we've ever had in our locker room. And they wanted to get that message out. So the only time the GM is kind of breaking like unwritten Steelers rules and sat reporters down to tell them what was really going on is over this whole wide receiver two.
Yeah.
Imbruglio, I guess you could call it. Where it's just
I'm just amazed that he's Well, we don't know if he's going to get his hand slapped behind the scenes, but we know it's a different power structure than it is in a lot of places where the GM actually is not an equal partner, but almost exists above the head coach.
The Steelers probably like it because it's getting their narrative out there. And you saw, I mean, like, I love Cabali.
But they can never have him do it on the record. They'd rather it be in this, like, weird way.
I love Cabali. Yeah, he won't do a press conference. It's got
to
be like this.
They want it to be leaked out this way, and they're fine.
I love Mark. But Mark did a total 180 after talking to Khan about Pickens, now that I remember it. Beforehand, go back and look at his tweets. They need to have Metcalf and Pickens together. They need to see how these two guys can coexist. It'll be impossible for defenses to stop them. They trade them. Khan pulls these guys in and says, here's the real story. The reporters come out of that room and they say, oh man, this is so much worse than we ever thought. They had to get rid of the guy.
Do you actually believe the Steelers' side of this about Pickens? Just to go back to that, I'm curious. Do you believe, like...
Yes. I think what they said before they traded him was all hogwash, yes, that he really was a bad guy and a bad actor.
Bad actor,
and they
in the
needed
locker
to get
room
rid of him, yeah. But beforehand, it was, oh, we love George.
No, I understand that. Do you believe their side of it in this one, too? Like, we tried really hard. We got really close. Because I think you can give these kinds of little nibbles here on off the record, but not really, because I know you're going to go with this in some form or fashion and have me believe it. I do believe the pick and stuff. I think he was a huge pain in the ass.
Yep.
I think what Dallas is all saying about him, too, is probably all of that.
I think what happened...
But, like, in this case, here's do what we I think they actually went hard at getting a second wide receiver?
I think they went hard on their terms.
So they didn't, then.
I think they went hard, like, this is all that we're going to give up, and if nobody meets this, then I guess we're not going to make a deal.
But my point is, if you're really in on somebody and you really desperately need one, you don't really have our terms apply. You're just hell-bent to get one.
Chris,
within reason, like you're not going to give up a first-round pick.
They were
something.
Threading this very narrow needle of, we want help, we want it to be more than Mike Williams last year, but we also don't want to give up picks that we either A, want to hold on to for the draft next year for a quarterback, or B, the other story is, we just think we're better than everybody else at taking players in the middle rounds, and we want to save those picks to take more of those guys. And so, like you made a good point, and you brought this up last week. Do I think, like, would Jacoby Myers have been, for me, the difference between them winning a playoff game and not? No, but I would have liked the team a lot more if they had him. And given a lot of their actions leading up to that, they didn't go all in and give up future picks, but they were, like, prioritizing this season. You're trying to win this year if you start a 41-year-old quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How do you argue it any other way?
You're not.
It's not about long-term development. It's got to be about winning with him now.
He's not Mr. Right. He's Mr. Right now at quarterback.
But yes, all of this has been about... the one thing Graves said last night that I did agree with was he said, this season, really, the goal of this season has been, quote, not to suck. So just be good enough. So don't give up, obviously, picks for next year, but also, like, we're allergic to having a down year.
We're never going to go 5-12 or 4-13.
Yep.
It's just not, we hate it.
Yeah.
With every fiber of our being.
Let's give ourselves a chance. Yes, we know the odds of being like the 6 or 7 seed and winning in the playoffs is
but
not
just
really,
get us till the single elimination tournament.
And we'll see what happens. We'll take our chances there. Yeah.
Well,
you know, didn't do that?
Was.
New England, that worked out okay for them.
I brought that up. They got their guy. They messed up the coach at first.
But then for every New England, there's a Tennessee or a Jets or the Raiders or the Browns. And so,
all right, all you've really done there is name, especially in the case of the last three teams, because the Titans have had some successes, obviously. You've named three of the most perpetually moribund teams of this century,
right,
other than the Raiders getting to the Super Bowl in 2002. So, like, why every league is going to have, like, teams that always F it up, basically. Why would you use those three teams internally as the argument for why we can't ever tear it down? If you're a well-run organization, as I am sure the Steelers feel they are,
yep,
getting that high pick and getting the Drake May type guy, you should feel like that's the skeleton key.
Donnie, are you more upset or less upset that they didn't trade for a wide receiver after watching the game last night and seeing Calvin Austin basically shovel past the ball to Dante Jackson for an interception and watching DK Metcalf make $30 million a year and get taken out of basically every game?
More, because now defenses, if they weren't doing that already, they're going to be able to do that down the stretch of the year. And again, Same thing we saw at that position last season. They have one true threat. Let's take him away, and let's see what Pittsburgh's offense can do.
Chris, that's what makes the Metcalf move confounding, is that you gave him a lot of money and you gave up a really good pick, but you created an offense where you've made it hard on yourself to get him the ball because there's nobody else they really are worried about in your offense.
I always wonder when they made that deal knowing they were going to end up dealing Pickens, did they just think their internal options were going to come along a lot more than they have?
So you said before, like, a higher value of their offensive line.
Yeah.
I bet you they thought the same thing with Austin and Wilson. Oh, we're going to hit on one of these guys. Look at our track record with wide receivers. Look at the wide receivers that we've produced in the middle rounds of drafts. Austin's a wide receiver three.
He's a nice wide receiver three. That's it. And the head coach, regardless of what maybe the GM and the GM's personnel man, Weidel, thought of Roman Wilson, it has obviously been next to impossible for Wilson to do enough this year to impress the head coach and the quarterback.
Brian's on the fan. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two quick points. This whole organization, I think, just needs an enema. From the top down, wipe it clean. I've been saying it for a couple of years now. I talked to you guys after the Minnesota win, thinking, hey, you know, things just aren't looking right. However, on the whole Aaron Rodgers tip, you know, normally with athletes, it seems like it's not a gradual decline. They fall off a cliff quickly. But to this point, Aaron Rodgers, you are one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Your back's up against the wall. How are you going to come out? Are you going to come out swinging, or are you going to just start being grumpier and grumpier and not perform? I think the ball's in his court now, and we might see some of the best Aaron Rodgers play in the last 5-10 years if he decides, I can't go out like that.
I think the problem is we could easily see him play much better this week because they are going against one of the only defenses that's worse than theirs when they're not forcing turnovers.
Yeah.
And then the second they run into a good team with an even average to above average defense, it's going to look like it did last night again.
Well, the real test for him will be the Bears because the Bears defense isn't very good and he's owned them throughout his career. So if he's still Aaron Rodgers, if he's still the Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. he'll beat the Bengals this week.
Beat the Bears.
He'll go to Chicago next week and they'll be 8-4 and it'll be crisis averted if he's still that guy. I have serious questions about that.
Well, the problem too with just go and beat the Bears is, and I am hardly suggesting they are a world beater team. They'd be 7-4, by the way, if they did that, not 8-4.
Oh yeah, that's right. My bad. They're 5-4 right now.
The Bears have enough offense, and it seems like weirdly enough resilience right now in the new regime there to actually punch back a little bit. That team has won what? They 0-2 start, 6-1 since. Like, they don't look like the perpetual doormat Bears, but their defense stinks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So PM team, Black and Gold Loser Monday. We're breaking down the Steelers just embarrassing offensive showing and Aaron Rodgers playing one of the worst games of all time with you today at 412-928-9370. You can watch us on Twitter, on X now. We have it pinned to our 93.7 The Fan page, so you can go there and watch the show if you can't listen on your car radio or watch us on YouTube. So it's there for you now. Check that out. Our bosses are excited about that. So are we.
Almost 2,300 people locked into the Twitter account.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount. That's this week. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, the co-creator of a great show called The Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back. featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season streaming November 16th, only on Paramount+. Billy Bob Thornton, who scores St. Louis Cardinals games in his free time.
So we've got front row Amy, who's well known to Brewers fans for sitting in the front row scoring games.
He taught Angelina Jolie how to score baseball games. And man, that's pretty hot.
Isn't that one of the all-time mismatched couples? Like, she in her prime, you know, the probably, what, sexiest woman alive? Probably she won that award, I'm assuming, at some point. And Billy Bob Thornton just kind of, I don't know.
Just a normal-looking guy?
I would say a normal-looking guy who you feel like you would just randomly see at a gas station filling up his car doing absolutely nothing.
Maybe he's got a little Pete Davidson going for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's get to the Donnie Football Debrief, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Donnie's biggest football topic of the day, Donald.
The Debrief, November 10, 2025. Let's get to the Pat Narduzzi quote from earlier today. Ahead of this massive game against Notre Dame, game day will be on site outside of Acrisure Stadium for the first time in a long time. Getting asked if this is a must win, this was Pat's answer. Absolutely not. It is not an ACC game. I'm glad you brought that up. It's not an ACC game. I'd gladly get beat 103 or 110-10 in that game. They could put up 100 on us as long as we win the next two after that. I have a wild take on this. I actually think he's dead on. Now, maybe saying
wow,
maybe saying 100-0 is a little bit much, but he's right. Like, yeah, it is a massive game, I think, for Pitt as a program. But in all reality, if they would win that game on Saturday, it means nothing if they lose to Georgia Tech and Miami. Whereas if they lose on Saturday and beat the last two, that means a whole lot more.
I haven't done enough of the looking on this because, honestly, there's so many different ways you've got to take it. I know Wake beat Virginia this week. Is there still a way that a one-loss Pitt team can be boxed out of the ACC title game right now?
You've got five teams with one loss.
Louisville has a direct head-to-head over
them. But they've already got two losses.
Okay, right. So knock that. Okay, so Duke still has one loss, I
Duke,
believe.
Duke, SMU, Virginia, and Georgia Tech. And if you
You'll pick off Georgia Tech. Miami's already lost twice.
Yep. So Duke, I guess there's a scenario. Let's see. Hold on.
Chris Peek had something about this.
Virginia does play Duke. So one of those teams is going to have a second loss.
I feel like Chris Peek had something about this.
I guess it's
relevant.
Possible that SMU wins out and then the winner of Virginia Duke wins out and you could have one of those teams, an SMU, in over Pitt.
So,
because in that scenario, all three teams would have one loss.
Okay, here it is. So Chris said on Saturday, I think your rooting interests for the next 3 weeks are Pitt winning and either Virginia or SMU losing a game. So Virginia did, because that was sent, I believe, yeah, that was sent okay. Saturday morning. Or no, Sunday morning, sorry.
So they still have to lose another one.
And then all these like weird tiebreakers, by the way, that Virginia-North Carolina non-con loss counts for absolutely nothing. It does not count in any tiebreaking equation. The only thing I was going to say was, if Pitt somehow got boxed out somehow as a one-loss team still from the ACC title game,
get in at large?
If they beat Notre Dame, I absolutely think 10-2 and getting boxed out weirdly by tiebreakers, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Miami. I know Miami's fallen off here,
yep.
But that would still look pretty damn good.
I also completely disagree with him because I think Notre Dame is a Pitt rival. And Notre Dame might not look at Pitt as a rival.
But they play him a lot.
But they play him just about every year. And I think if you ask Pitt fans to rank the teams they want to beat every season, it's going to go Penn State 1 whenever they do play, which doesn't happen anymore.
WVU 2.
And then I don't know. I honestly think, West Virginia fans want to beat Pitt more than Pitt fans want to beat West Virginia.
I do like it when they beat Notre Dame.
I think Pitt fans would rather beat Notre Dame than West Virginia. I really do.
I don't hate Notre Dame the way I used to because I find Freeman to be a generally likable, straightforward
guy. Yeah, I think Pitt fans hate Notre Dame more than they hate West Virginia.
I hate the institution of Notre Dame, even though I keep getting told their fans are so nice. They don't have the cultural cachet quite that they did back in the day when we were all growing up, Pony.
And also, I mean, am I to take from these comments that, like, let's say Desmond Reed is a little iffy for this game.
That he'll sit him?
He sits? Because if it doesn't matter. But if it doesn't matter, Donnie.
I also wonder in a way if it's him taking the pressure a little bit off his team so it's not like an uptight feel all week.
So I have
they come out on
Saturday.
I
don't like that either though.
I have a
Well, I mean Notre Dame's got more pressure on them than Pitt. If Notre Dame fumbles one of these other
they're
games,
done.
They're done.
100%.
Yeah. And they're also trying still for style points, Notre Dame is, to try to bludgeon people. I have a crazier take than Donnie's. I got a weird feeling Pat thinks they're gonna win this week. And he's doing a bunch of, like, Pat Narduzzi psychology voodoo. I actually came away from that feeling, gut feeling. I think they're going to pull a little surprise here. I'm not ready to make the formal pick, but I think...
You think they are, or you think he thinks?
I think he thinks that they will, or that they have a very good chance to, and I'm starting to talk myself into it even more so because I saw this on its surface kind of silly quote from him that's getting raked over the coals for how absurd it is.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think he knows. I think what he wants to do with his team is game day's there and there's 70,000. It's going to feel, from an atmosphere standpoint, like it's the biggest game Pitt's ever played in.
And he's trying to
minimize
it. And
I think he's already trying to let them know in advance, even if you lose, we can't sulk the next week and act like our season is over because it's the exact opposite.
Well, I
got to
be honest then. That's not horrible coaching. If, like, you know that you got to keep your eyes on the prize, that's not the worst coaching ever. Make sure your guys don't have a hangover. Look what got James Franklin fired. They lost what was going to be their big game of the year at home.
Yep.
And the obvious hangover carried over. It's still carrying over. They haven't won since.
All right. Do you guys think that Pitt's going to win out?
I think they're going to take 2 of 3.
Okay.
Is this the one they're not going to win?
Well, no. Here's what I was going to ask. If you think they're going to win 2 out of 3, that means that one of those losses is going to be an ACC loss. I don't think that's going to be good enough to get them in the ACC championship
game. If you think they're going to win 2 out of 3, one of those games doesn't have to be an ACC loss.
You're right. Okay, then never mind. Because I was going to say, if you asked me right now, would I rather beat Notre Dame or beat Georgia Tech the next week, I would say beat Notre Dame.
But if it's beat Notre Dame or run the table in the last two and win the ACC...
Well, yeah, that's different. But I...
Yes, if I get 9-3, but you get left out somehow... Or you just beat Notre Dame and I don't know what happens after that. Yeah, beat Notre Dame, lose to Tech. Probably want to beat Notre Dame.
Like, I think there's a better chance they go 0-3 than go 2-1.
The Miami game's got me.
I think most likely is they go 1-2. If I had to rank what happens in their last three games, I'd say 1-2 is most likely.
And you say loss, win, loss, I bet.
Then 2-1 and 3-0.
I don't know, man. Like, there is like a weird vibe with them with Heinschel in a good way, where he has hardly been perfect, especially like the end of the Stanford game, slop fest.
Yes,
we even asked him about it, and yet you've got to kind of go back and realize they were up by so much because he was so good to that point. They've kind of cruised past everybody since he started
playing.
And
usually Pitt finds a way to lose one of those games to prevent Saturday from being a big game.
Like, they would
so
have let
have
Stanford go like 90 yards right. in 2 minutes and then done it again and like completely melted down.
But the fact remains they still haven't beaten anybody who's worth a damn.
No,
and that has me nervous about Saturday's game. The odds makers have him as a 10.5 point dog.
Notre Dame's good, man. They've figured it out. They've largely figured it out. And they have one of the three best players, I would say, in college football in Love. Who had a ridiculous highlight reel.
But Pitt's been really good against the run.
I think the question in this game, too, is you brought up Reed's health. Like, how hard does Pat push to get some of his defensive guys back?
How about this? It's like the biggest game Pitt has played in years. Like, you could even make an argument it's bigger than that ACC championship game with Kenny. Malzi's at a Navy game on Saturday, and I'm in Kentucky for Amanda's 40th birthday. You want to talk about bad scheduling luck. For us, and you probably got a D3 game.
No, I have 2 high school championships.
There you go.
That day.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, I'll be in Annapolis at Navy USF.
Like, we talked about this months ago. Like, I said a month ago, hey, maybe Pitt Notre Dame could be game day, and I think people kind of laughed at that and rolled their eyes. But now it's happening, and
didn't you say it under the guise of you thought Holstein would be good enough to get to that point?
No.
You said it a couple months ago.
No. I meant like a month ago. I said it's possible that Pitt runs the table here before Notre Dame, and if Notre Dame runs the table before that game, all of a sudden you're going to have one of the biggest games of the college football season in Pittsburgh. And we do have that now. And it's not just because Pitt's a spoiler.
No, Pitt's
both
in
teams
it,
can legitimately get to the college football playoff.
It's funny. This game has no bearing, really, unless my scenario plays out where they would somehow get left out of the ACC title game and they would need to be 10-2.
That's another reason why he shouldn't say game doesn't matter. It does.
No, it absolutely does. My point is that Pitt, even if this game doesn't have a ton of luster, maybe like somebody else that they need to lose loses and they've got a clearer path.
Right.
They beat Notre Dame. They are suddenly vaulting up those college football playoff rankings, and they are instantly seen as a very serious
threat.
And
here's another thing. I don't think it's insignificant, like, in terms of recruiting.
No,
if
that is
definitely true. If they beat Notre Dame and Sig's there, you think there's a chance he might commit to Pitt after the game? Maybe not, but maybe there is.
If they deliver a big boy performance and beat Notre Dame in front of a rockin' house, even if 45% of it's Notre Dame fans, and it's just a loud, good environment, it's absolutely going to move the needle for them on recruiting.
What do you think, Donnie? You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of
recruiting.
Like program-wise, it's probably the biggest one left. Season-wise, it isn't, and that's why he said what he said.
Maybe Spell will see the game and be like, you know what, I'm reopening it, and I want to go to
Pitt. Is he going to go to Notre Dame?
They're on his final list.
I think that's
list.
What he's like crystal balled to.
Yeah, like they need another great running back at Notre Dame.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.